Such a beautiful presence of the Lord here today, and the presence of God is so rich. And, when you walk into the presence of God, and I'm not just talking about at church, but I'm talking about in your daily life, you walk into the presence of God. I know we live in the presence of God, but you know what I'm talking about, those moments where you say, okay, I'm going to just set aside some time, or I'm just going to step into His presence. Those moments, those encounters with God are life-giving. And they should be cherished. They should be cherished more than anything else in your life. More than silver or gold, houses or land, what God imparts to you and deposits into your life should be cherished. And when you cherish those things, they grow in your life. You know what I mean? They're just the pieces of the puzzle that just make your life look completely different, and you can see the bigger picture of what God has for us. And I've enjoyed this series. I was telling someone today, I said, I think I could preach this series like forever on the goodness of God. We just keep on going because one thing is so endless. Anybody here today? All right, just want to make sure. It's so endless and it's so amazing and it's so powerful and it's so rich. And I just love God's heart for us. Oftentimes, we don't really comprehend everything there is to comprehend about the goodness of His goodness. And we've heard preaching a lot, and we've heard statements about it. I don't even know if that you can have all the words. How many can anybody just step up here and just, you could just articulate all the goodness of God? It's so difficult to do because it's so big, right? Right? It's so amazing. And so when you start trying to talk about it, you just kind of grasp for words. But I think a lot of problem with the teaching on the goodness of God is that we've never just went after it. We just never heard it just talked about so much that we probably think in our minds on the goodness of God kind of like this. That's good, Katie. Thank you for coming and helping us today. She's so amazing. Katie came from Healing Place today to help us. So thanks. When we think about the goodness of God, we probably put so much of it in perspective. How many growing up, it was intentional, how many parents in here? Sometimes intentional or unintentional, we kind of throw the goodness of God out there kind of like how we do our kids or how we grew up as kids. Like, if you do good, you get good. Okay. Anybody here this morning? So like we think about the goodness of God. Like I don't try to reward my kids for cleaning their room. That's their responsibility, right? So you don't get brownie points for that. You're supposed to do that. But when they do something above and beyond, we reward them for that, or we say, "Oh man, that's awesome. That's good." But because of our thinking, that sometimes we've made people think if you cross every T and dot every I, then God is good. If I do all the things I'm supposed to do, then God shows up and God is good to me. If I'm perfect and all my ways, then I do all the little things I'm supposed to do, then God is good. But that's not really the truth. Amen. The truth is that God is good even when we're not good. Amen. Even when our life is a big mess, God is still good. And here's the deal with the goodness of God. We think about the goodness of God a lot of times like we do healing. Like, oh, I believe God can heal so-and-so. But when we're sick or when we're struggling, we're going through life, we don't have the same faith for ourselves as we have for somebody else. You know, like, oh, but because we're feeling the sickness or we're feeling the weight of life or we're feeling the pressure or we're the one going through the situation. And we feel oftentimes like in those scenarios that maybe God has abandoned or left us or has forgotten about us. And I was just thinking a moment ago about Jesus when he was with the disciples on the ship and they were sailing. And there was the moment when they forgot that the good God was right in the midst of them. And they were doing everything within their power to prepare themselves for shipwreck. They were throwing things overboard. They were trying to do all they could. And only when they could have saved all of their stuff had they just remembered that Jesus was in the midst of them and he is a good God. And all they had to do was just stop and say, hey, Lord, hey, come. Don't you know? No, hey, you know, the Lord was in the storm with them. Oh, that's a good word right there. The Lord's in your storm. He's in your situation. And so all you got to do is realize that the Lord is good. And we say it like it's a cliche, but let's say it like we mean it. And he's good
all the time.
All the time. All the time. He is good. God is not only good when we're good. He's good all the time. And God is good to me. I want you to say, God's good to me. God's good to me. He loves me. He cares about me. We need to make this whole God is good to me very personal in our life. God is good to me. He loves me. He loves me all the time. He loves me in my good, in my bad. God loves me. There's no limit to the goodness of God. I think sometimes we don't really understand all there is about the goodness of God because it's one of the most unexplored things in our life. It's most unexplored thing even in the church of the goodness of God. You know, when we were kids growing up in church, you know, we would hear the stories in Sunday school about the devil. We'd even sing songs about the devil. You know, like how we're going to put our foot on the devil. And we sing songs about the devil. We believe in the devil. We ain't no problem believing in the devil. Y'all better smile. We believe in the devil. Ooh, the devil's around every corner. He's waiting to jump out and get you. Ooh, the big bad devil. Oh, the devil, he's lurking. He's just standing over you. He wants to destroy you. And we kids go to bed at night scared to death of the devil. I'll never forget one time I was at a youth camp. And this preacher, I guess he thought he was going to scare the devil out of everybody. So he come riding in on this lawnmower, and they built this train behind it, this riding lawnmower. And he had dry ice all down in the compartments of the lawnmower, of the train. And this smoke was coming out, had people all chained up and locked up, and his all hairs all over the place and painted black. They were all, you know. It was the funniest thing in the world because all the holy kids, all the spiritual kids, they all ran to the altar crying out to God, making sure their salvation was good. All of us bad kids was like, who, the devil? Come on, the devil. And then the ones in the middle was up all night calling parents. Y'all got to come get your kids. They're scared. They don't want to go to bed. Nope. All they can remember about that message was the devil. I don't think the message was really about the devil. I think the message was about God saves. But we got so caught up with the devil, we forgot that God is good. Amen. God is good. God is good. How is it that we believe in the devil more than we believe in the goodness of God?
That's good.
It's because we haven't explored the goodness of God. We haven't adventured out to find out all the things that are good about God and how amazing God really is. It's almost like we add the goodness of God onto our faith like it's an addition. Like we bought a new car and it's really nice. And by the way, we have a moonroof. Like, oh, by the way, we're saved. And oh, by the way, we have, God is good. Just in case, how many has a moonroof in their car? Come, raise your hand. How many ever open it? About once or twice a year, three times a year. You open the moonroof. It's so cool to have, but nobody really uses it. Especially in the South, it's too hot in the summertime and too nasty in the winter. So occasionally we go out of town to somewhere nice and we roll it down. On a vacation, we might add it to our life. But the truth is, it's an addition to our life. It's an addition to our ride, but it's not really a necessary part. It's not a steering wheel. And we treat the goodness of God as though it's an addition to our faith instead of it is really the heart of God. It's really who he is. It's really his nature that he is good. He is good and he cares so much about us. He loves us so with so much and so he's so intensely in love with us. He is good. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. So we kind of go through the life like I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and someday this is going to be good. Yay, God is good. Yay, God is good. And we go through things like sickness and our car wrecks or family situations or financial difficulties. We think it's because God is trying to get our attention. You know, God's using this to get your attention. Listen, life happens, my friends. Life is going to happen. I don't care how good things are. Life still happens. It still happens. Again, we with kids, we don't hold our kids. Can you imagine taking your baby and holding your baby out over the lake of fire and saying, hey, I just want to make sure you know. And if you don't behave, whoop, sorry. No one would ever do that to their child. No one would ever hold their child over a dangerous place, hold them off a cliff, hold them over the Grand Canyon and say, if you don't say, I love you, Daddy, I'm letting you go. I'm going to drop you right here. We would never do that. But somehow in our perception, we think God's dangling us over hell, thinking, man, if I don't get it all right, he's going to drop me. Well, Pastor, what about the judgments of God? Here's the deal about the judgments of God. Every judgment of God leads us back to his goodness. It's not a concept of what can I get by with or if I'm getting by with. That even is not the deal. The deal is God is good. And he wants to pour out his love on you so much that he desires to give you his very best. His very best. And he's good. He's good all the time. God's goodness changes everything in life. When we understand the goodness of God, it changes everything in life. But we can only understand it when we realize that this is the kind of surrender that is entirely left up to grace and the expression of heaven upon our life. That there's nothing we can do about it anyway, except to receive it. It's not our merit to begin with. God's good, regardless of how we see it. The only way that we can fully understand is to experience it. And the only way we can experience is to go after it. And we need to experience more than just being saved, but we need to experience the goodness of God in our everyday life. And it's through our surrender of our life to him to say, God, you're good. You love me so much. And then God comes and saturates his love upon us. And it changes the whole perception of things. And all the credit belongs to the Father. Amen. We take none of the glory. So what now? So after 5 weeks of this series of the goodness of God, what now? What do I do with this? Where do I go with this? Have you ever took a drive down a road or across country or somewhere and you just went out on an adventure? You ever got in your car and just said, I'm going to go for a drive today and see what I see? I love doing that. I so love just to get in the car. We've been on vacations before and I love the mountains, by the way. I'm telling you, if you want to have a relationship with God, you got to go to the mountains. He's not at the beach. I'm just kidding. But you got to go to the mountains. That's where God is. And so I'm driving down the road, and it's around every turn. It's around every corner. It's an adventure. And as you drive through the mountains, and you can't see because you're in that turn, and you turn around, and you look up, and you go, oh, my Lord, look at those trees. Look at those mountains. Look at that summit. Look how amazing it is. Look how incredible it is. I'll never forget one time. If you've ever been to Colorado and you've left Denver and you drive across the Continental Divide going into some of the ski areas, and it's so amazing because on the, I guess that would be the east side, maybe the east side of the Continental Divide. It could be just like green and maybe a little snow flurries and just, you know, you can see a little snow off in the distance. But you cross through that tunnel in the Continental Divide. And I'll never forget one day that we were driving through there and we come out from underneath that tunnel. And it's like we just went into winter wonderland. It was snow everywhere. I mean, the mountains was covered. Everything was covered. I was so amazed by all of it that I hit the brakes looking at it. And the next thing I was doing, I was going, woo, woo, woo. Amazed. Amazed. It's an adventure. And if we're going to ever experience all the goodness of God, we have to go on some adventures with God. We have to go in some places, step out of some areas that are not in the norm, that not are the same, and say, God, I'm going to go find all that I can, and I'm going to experience the goodness of God. I was in a little town years ago. A friend and I went up camping in North Arkansas, and we were there in this little bitty town. It wasn't a tourist area. He had an uncle that lived there. I don't even remember the name of the town, but it was right on the border, way up in the mountains, in the Ozark Mountains, and there was just this little village that had one little malt stand, and we were bored because we were young, so we went down to the little malt stand, and we were talking to some of these people, and come to find out that some of them had never left their county. They didn't even know what the rest of Arkansas looked like, or Missouri was just north of them. They had lived and was born and raised and always lived in that county. So their adventure was us coming to them. I mean, they were amazed that these Cajuns, which we were not Cajuns, but if you live in Louisiana, you know, you're a Cajun. So they were amazed that these Cajuns came all the way, which is not really that far, to northern Arkansas, because their world was so small. And a lot of times our relationship with God, or our experience with God, is just being saved, and we've never left our county.
That's good.
We've never adventured into the other things that God has for us. We're just glad to be saved and hoping to make it to heaven. But I'm telling you, there is so much more to the goodness of God. There is so much more to living for God than just making it out of here. And we get to experience that as we go on a journey and we learn how to experience more that God has for us. I know in life we can never see the whole world. We can never see everything. We can never explore all of the United States. We can never explore all the world. But I'll tell you what, I don't want to sit at home and wish I had a went. I don't want to sit at home and think, well, I don't really know. Hey, listen, we got great technology now. You can watch all kinds of shows and TV programs, but it ain't like being there. It's kind of like watching somebody. It's like watching a CD of a service that was amazing. Everybody, you got to get this CD. And then you watch it and you go, oh, yeah, that was a good word. But it ain't like being there. It's not like experiencing it. It's not like sitting in the atmosphere and touching heaven. You just got to get out there and begin to experience the goodness of God in your life. Am I making any sense to anybody today? You have to start somewhere. So why don't you decide today, in this setting today, in this sermon today, in this morning service, that today is my day. And when I leave here, I'm going to go experience the goodness of God. Psalms 33 says this: "For the word of the Lord is right, and all of his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment, and the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Everybody say full. Of the goodness of the goodness of the Lord. One of the definitions of the word is full is having no empty spaces. Full. There's nowhere that God has not touched. So his goodness is everywhere. Everywhere we go, we find his goodness. You don't have to look for it because it's right there, but you do need to have eyes to see it. It's not far away. It's close. It's right in front of you. It's right in your midst, but you've got to learn to see it. You've got to learn to be able to see what God is putting in front of you. Have you ever bought a car and you thought, man, I'm the only one. I like this car. I'm going to be the only one with this car. Man, this car is fine. It's so unique. I love this car. Everybody's going to know when I come up because I'm the only one with this car. You get up the next morning, you're so happy to go drive that car, keys in hand, crank it up. You pull up to the red light, and there's 10 of them. They're like everywhere. Like everybody bought a Buick this week. Like, where do they? And they're all the same color, and they all have the same interior. I thought I was the only one, man. Now it's all changed. Why? Because you've learned to drive that car. You've sit in that car. You got eyes for that car. And now you're seeing that car everywhere you go. You may be like me. You're even trying to get in the one that ain't yours at the grocery store. You see, here's the deal, Pete. Whatever you focus on, it's what you're going to believe. If you focus on the negative, if you focus on things that are negative and the world's coming to an end, the sky's falling, life is bad, guess what? The world's coming to an end for you. The sky's falling and life is bad. But if you focus on the goodness of God and how great He is, all of a sudden you don't see that world anymore. You see a new world. How do you see that? I get in that car every day and drive. My eyes become tuned to that. It becomes familiar with me. Whatever you become familiar with is what you see. Whatever you become familiar with is the lens that you see from. And we need to change our view of things. We need to change our lens sometimes and begin to look through the eyes of the goodness of God. And we begin to see all around us that the earth is full of His goodness. The earth is full of His glory. The earth is full of His peace. The earth is full. But if all you see is, oh, woe is me. My life is over. This life is a train wreck. And I'm about to die. Well, enjoy the ride. But if you see His goodness, you're going to get up in the morning and you're going to say, woo, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because today I'm going to see the goodness of God. Today I'm going to see the blessing of God. I'm going to see God working in my life. So we walk in the goodness of God every day, everywhere. Say responsibility. I find it interesting how we can get so excited about our ability to walk in the goodness of God. And when it comes alive in us, we just get on cloud nine. We're excited. We're walking on the clouds, and we've been given gifts. But there's a responsibility that comes with the goodness of God. And the responsibility is for us to help others to find this awesome treasure. Listen, nothing God gives us, He gives us to hold to ourselves. Everything that God gives us, like Himself, He gives away. Everything that God blesses us with, it's to give away. It's to produce more. It's to have more. And so this treasure that God has put in your life of His goodness and His mercy and His kindness and His peace and everything that He has, He give you that so that you could give it away, so that you could share it. Mark Twain said the two most important days of a man's life is the day that he's born and the day he finds out why. Amen. I don't want to be cruel today or mean or try to, I don't even mean this as a judgmental statement. But so many of us get saved and we walk in this place of church Christianity but never know our identity. We know we were born again, but we don't know why. We know that we're saved and we're going to make it to heaven, but we don't have our identity because we don't understand the goodness of God. It's at the moment that you understand the goodness of God in your life that you begin to see who you are and what God's created you to do. It should be our joy to help others to find out who they are, why they were born, and what they're here for. And that's done through the gospel and through the good news of the kingdom of God. There's three things I want to help you with before we go. Three things that I can do to help change the world. How many want to help change the world? Okay, six of y'all do. That's awesome. How about the rest of y'all? How many of y'all say folks want to help change the world? Come on. How many want to change your family? How about that? That's good. Awesome. Somebody's saying, please, Lord. Come on, Jesus. We need to change the world around us. Number one, we got to have a God encounter. Everybody say God encounter. See, we've limited a God encounter to something we do on an altar one day. And we come and give our life to Christ. And we have that one day that we experience. If we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, or that one day we're baptized in water, that one day that we remember. And we call that an encounter with God. And I believe in all of those things. But when we really have a love for the presence of God, we have encounters with God.
Yes.
Every day have an encounter with the presence of God. Every day there's a fresh new manna on our doorstep. There's a fresh new touch of heaven. There's a fresh new word for us. There's a fresh new thing that we have not experienced, because we're on this adventure to find all that we can about God. We're discovering all the goodness of the Lord. And so for us to do that, we got to live from being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's the only way we can constantly bring our new encounter, constantly refilling our life with the Holy Spirit every day, every day, every day, every day. Pour it out on me, Lord. More. You know what? I didn't say this first service, but I feel like saying it right now. You put some of us at a buffet, man, we don't have any problem with more. Come on now. We don't have any problem with more. If I said next Sunday we're having a crawfish boil, it's all you can eat. Woo! Some of y'all get excited right now. There'd be Audrey from Wisconsin would be running around the church. Woo! I don't know how she got the loving crawfish so good. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, we settle for less when God says you can have more. And it's unlimited. Somebody say unlimited. You're never going to get it all.
Right.
All the revelation, if you get all the revelation there is today, guess what? There's a bunch more tomorrow. If you get all there is tomorrow, there's a bunch more the next day and the next week and the next year. And it goes on and on, because it's unlimited supply, because the earth is full of His goodness.
Amen.
It's amazing. It's powerful. And we have to live from this place of the overflow of the Spirit. So our standard. So this bottle of water right here has never been opened. Is it full? Yep. Full. Let me open it. Break the seal on it. But is it really full? Because I can still put water inside of that bottle of water. And here's what the Lord wants us to live. He don't want us to live to the standard of what some may call full.
Right.
Having just enough to be full.
Right.
But He wants to live from the standard of full is never full enough. Full just keeps on coming. And here's what happens when we live out of the overflow of the Spirit of God. Not only does it affect our life, but it begins to affect all the things around us. It begins to saturate the world around us with the love of God. It begins to saturate the world around us with the goodness of God. Well, why are you so happy? I heard so-and-so about you and you're still smiling. Why are you so happy? Because I'm full of the goodness of God. I don't let what the world standards is on full be my limits of full. I don't let the world standards to say that's enough be all that I want. I'm going to take the cap off of things and I'm going to say, hey, Lord, I want this to be full and overflowing. John 7 says this, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, this is said about the Spirit, whom those who believe in Him would receive. This is said about the Spirit, that when we get full of the Spirit, we're going to be like a river flowing out, and it's never going to run out. And I want you to look The water is running down the cloth, on the floor, all the way down here to the lowest places is saturated with the water. Why? Because I decided that I'm not going to be happy with just enough. I'm going to be overflowing. Oh, I'm going to get all I can from the Lord. Oh, yeah. Full. Running over. I feel like running over. Just full. Full of the Spirit. Poured out upon me. Everything I got just overflowing. Over. Now when I get around people, they're going to have to get a little wet. They're going to have to sense a little bit of the presence of God. They're going to have to get a little of this anointing on them. Why? Because I'm full and overflowing.
That's good.
What is it? Oh, it's a river of love. Saturate. Don't worry, I'm not going to come pour none of this on all y'all prideful people. I'll just pour it on myself. Full and overflowing. Full and overflowing. If I stand close enough to you, you got to get a little wet. Give me another bottle. But if this is my standard, I'm just going to walk around. It ain't going to hurt, touch nobody. Hey, brother, how you doing today? Oh, I'm full. How's life going? Oh, it's pretty good. I'm full. How's your relationship with God? It is full. How's your kids? I think they're full. How's your marriage? Full. How's your finances? Full. Come on, somebody say boring. So what standard will we live by? Will we live by a standard that that everyone else puts on us, or will we be living out of the overflow Amen. Of the goodness Amen. Of God? Amen. Woo! I feel the Holy Spirit right now. Hallelujah. Everybody say example. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says this. Paul was writing, he said, "Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ." Wipe them off. I can't see. Now I really can't see. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Be an example. Follow my example. What are you following? I'm following the nature of God. I'm not God. I'm not perfect. I am human. I still have issues. I still got problems. But guess what I'm doing? I'm follow me because what am I doing? I'm following the very nature of God. Amen. I haven't obtained, but yet I'm after that which has gotten a hold of me.
Right.
And I'm following the very nature of God. You see, people need mentors and models to illustrate how to do life. It's a funny thing to me that yet people reach a spiritual plateau or a spiritual, sometimes they think it's a spiritual peak. And at that point, they've risen above everybody else. Or they're just so low, they can't do it. The truth of the matter is that Jesus taught us how to live. Then followed after that, he said, follow me as I follow Christ, as I become an example. People need mentoring. So what do we do when we go out into the world? We become the very nature of his presence. Well, what if you're having a bad day? Listen. People are not judging your bad days as much as you think they are. They're judging, though, when you don't ever have a good day. When you don't ever have an overflow day. When you don't ever have a day that you, oh, I'm a Christian, but not at work. But I'm saved, but not at the football game. I'm full of the Holy Spirit, but not on vacation. But when we live out the overflow of the goodness of God, hey, listen, it doesn't matter where we are. We're after His presence. We're after His anointing. And people are getting that spillover on them. They begin to see, and we begin to mentor, and we begin to lead people.
Yes.
We don't have to be asked to do a small group. We created a small group.
That's right.
We don't have to be asked to do something in the program of the church. Because we've stepped into the goodness of God and we're an unstoppable force. Anybody with me this morning? Because this is really good. I've stepped into the thing where I'm following after the very nature of who He is. And I look behind me and there's people following after the nature of who He is. I'm the example. The Bible calls this disciple, which means learner. The disciple is a learner. He is following the example. He's a learner of the things of the Spirit. But the disciple also has disciples. And when we discover the one who is good, then we know who we are, not just what we can do. And when we carry out His nature, guess what it will do? It will attract nations.
Yes.
Here's what I've seen around people who carry the nature of God. People who carry the nature of God attracts nations. They attract every tongue, every tribe, every person, every kind. Oh, I'm about to preach right now. But if you just have religion, you only attract one kind. But when you have the goodness of God and you carry His presence, you attract everyone. You attract everyone. Because you know what it is? It ain't you. It ain't how good you preach or sing. It ain't how talented you are. You know what it is? It's the love of God being poured out of you. And it's an unstoppable force. It's so attractable that nobody can resist it. It's so powerful that those who say, I don't want to be a part of that, all of a sudden like, how can I be a part of that? It's the nature of His presence. What has got to come out of the overflow? It's got to come out of that place where you experience. And it touches the lives of everyone around you. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'm about to finish. The message, Romans 10:14 says this, how will they call upon Him who they have not believed? And how will they believe in Him who they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And let me just help you out this a little bit. We're all preachers. Don't bring them to church. Be the church. We're all preachers. And a lot of what we're preaching is preached without words. You see, when Jesus talked about the fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4, He said apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. But in our culture, we call it preachers. We say, hey, brother, you know, the Lord wants to do something great in your life. Let me introduce you to my preacher. No. Let me introduce you to my Jesus.
Amen.
Let me introduce you to the one who's living inside of me. Here, I'm going to pour a little water on you. I'm living out of the overflow now. I'm not looking for a church. I am the church. I'm not looking for a place to go. I am the flow of the Holy Spirit. I'm not looking for a river. I am the river of God. Somebody shout amen. Somebody say that's a good word. So we got to tell that we have a responsibility to tell. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to say tell instead of preach so some of y'all feel qualified. We have to tell someone about Jesus. Go tell it on the mountain. Worship team. Yeah, not the beach. Go tell it on the mountain. See, the Lord is moving in here. Jesus died for all to be saved. But not just to be saved. You see, when he died on the cross, he took away our sinful nature. But when we understand the goodness of God, not only did he take away our sinful nature, he gave us his holy nature. Amen. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody over here happy today. Let me go over here to the happy section. These people smiling over here. When he died on the cross, he took away our sinful nature. But he didn't just take away our sinful nature. He gave us his holy nature. He gave us his goodness. That's why the Bible says, being transformed. I'm not the man I used to be. I've been transformed. I'm not the old. I'm a new creature in Christ. I don't have the old nature of man. I have the new nature of God. I'm not living in grave clothes anymore. I'm free to walk in liberty. I'm living out of the overflow of the goodness of God. I'm living out of the joy.